We are now joined by Representative Christy Purcell from District 58A. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How are you?
Just fine. Good morning, Rich. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
I don't know where I'd be without you reminding me to record your interviews.
Well.
Last week I remembered.
Yes, you did.
But it was by the, you know, just a sheer stroke of luck. All right. So we need to, before we get to anything else, we have to talk about the really important stuff.
Yes.
The Frost.
We did not get to this last week.
The Frost. The Minnesota promised. Frost won last night and have now evened the series 1-1 for the second Walter Cup.
That's right.
Yes.
So we're defending champs and we... Right? The series comes home. So game Saturday at the XL and game Monday, I believe.
Okay.
Are games 3 and 4, which we now know because the series is split, it will at least go to a game 4 because it's the best out of 5. Mm-hmm. So that's super exciting and a little more exciting than the other stuff probably we'll talk about, which is, you know, my day job.
Now. I didn't get to see the game last night, though.
Oh,
so I know the it got exciting at the end.
Right?
Can you tell us what happened?
Well, Matty Rooney, our goalie, stopped twice as many pucks as the charge goalie, who is phenomenal.
Yeah,
Phillips, I think is her name, and she's actually left-handed.
Oh,
so I think that's a huge disadvantage for us because there are just not that many goalies.
Yeah.
Who play?
You don't see a lot of lefty goalies.
Glove on the on the right side. So. They both goalies stopped a lot of pucks. It was 0-0 going into the third when I tuned in.
Okay.
And I think with like 6 minutes left or something, I mean, you might talk with McNiff about this, but
we will.
Then the charge scored and it was like, oh crap. Okay. Yeah. Well, but this is what happens every series. This is what happened with Toronto in the semis. This is what happened last year, is that we lose the away games and then
win the home games.
Well, we have. Yeah. Don't want to jinx it. But and then this kind of remarkable thing happened. So like for the last 2 minutes or no. So the charge scored with like 6 minutes left.
Right.
Then for the last 2 minutes, we pulled our goalie. So we were up a player. And then there was a penalty called.
Oh.
And so it was 6-on-4.
Oh, OK.
And it was like and there was 36 seconds left of 6-on-4. It was like, well. It's make or break. Here we go.
All right.
And Britta Curl found the back of the net.
Nice.
It was pretty exciting
and
remarkable. So I'm texting with Laura from Imminent Brewing. Yeah. I'm texting with one of my colleagues who was like in negotiations. She wasn't watching the game. And I was like, Liz, you won't believe what happened. She has season tickets. So
that's fantastic.
It was pretty fun. So yes, if you're going to go back and watch. So then tied it up, then to go into overtime. And then that happened with the first game, and then we lost in the overtime.
Yeah.
But this time around, then I think it was Curl again who found the back of the net.
Way to go.
It was pretty fun.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And now we get to welcome the Frost back home to Minnesota. Hopefully we pack the house at the XL Energy Center and cheer them on to a couple more wins.
I think so far we have to call them the single most successful professional sports team in Minnesota history.
Well, they are 1-for-1. I mean, the Lynx have a pretty fantastic record.
But before the Lynx started winning, man.
Oh, I know.
They were dredged. I mean, they were the worst team in the league for years.
That's the Minnesota way.
It is. It is. Anyway, speaking of the Minnesota way. We are going to a special session.
Yes. So I asked someone, when is the last time with divided government that we did not do a special session? And it was 2008. So this has become really typical when it's divided government. Now, my experience has been in a DFL trifecta.
Right.
And we did not do a special session the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I guess then someone even said, even when it's been a GOP trifecta, there's also been special sessions.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. So I think my interpretation of that is it's indicative of not having your poop in a group
Is that political?
To put not having your stuff together.
To put it very professionally.
Yeah. Not because, being organized.
No, yeah. And because the way I spent the last 5 days of session was very different than mm-hmm. how I spent my last 5 days of session in 2024 and in 2023, mm-hmm. which was we were on the floor for 14 hours or 13 mm-hmm. hours, and we are passing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are making long-winded speeches mm-hmm. or they're pontificating mm-hmm. and they're filibustering and whatever. That's not how this year went. We would gavel in. We'd pass a bill. We would recess.
Wow.
We would gavel in. We'd pass a... or approve a Senate, like when the Senate sort of took up a bill that we'd already passed, mm-hmm. then we like approve it to say like, yep, ready to go to the governor. And then we would recess or we would adjourn. And really all session, I think there was one or two nights where we were done at like dinner time or later.
Huh. Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And then contrasting that with the last 2 years, I mean, we were regularly going till midnight.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, what kind of feeling does that leave you with?
It's a mixed bag yeah. because it's much more humane.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I can get a full night's sleep.
Yeah, or, that's always yeah. a good thing.
That
that's
is a big always deal. A good thing.
Yes.
And I think that's a good thing for legislation. Mm-hmm. Also, we're rested.
I'll agree with that.
We're making better decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not as cranky.
Not as cranky or hangry.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh, I think we're going to be done, so I'm not going to eat dinner. I didn't bring dinner.
How many of those amazing, like dramatic political moments that you see from floor speeches and such, how many of those do you think actually came from the fact that nobody ate breakfast?
That people were low on sleep.
Right.
They hadn't drunk enough water.
Yeah.
And they were hungry.
Yeah.
Probably a lot. Yeah. I mean, I think about what Cory Booker did
yeah.
a couple months ago.
Right.
Now with a... The 25-hour filibuster.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's unbelievable.
No going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, he would stop to drink a little water, but he literally could not leave the floor. So,
yeah.
Wild. So then the last day kind of went out with a whimper, similar.
Yeah.
There was a conference committee report. So that's when... the conferees and the way that these conference committees are set up this year, because the House is in a tie. We have equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats from the House on mm-hmm. each committee. So mm-hmm. it might be two, might be three. I don't know if there are more than that. Because if there are three, that's actually six House members.
Yeah.
So on the Environment Committee, of which I serve on the conference committee, which is now a work group because we're not in session, then the Senate sends five.
Okay.
So the Senate has the four Democrats, one Republican. So those four Democrats in the Senate outnumber our three Democrats and the three GOP members mm-hmm. of the House. But the coordination is kind of another thing altogether. So sometimes we align better with our House colleagues.
Right.
And sometimes we align better with our Senate DFL colleagues, but some of these bills are seem like they're buttoned up, they're done. You know, we didn't have time to pass everything, so these work groups are continuing. The taxes, they like meet all day every day. I think they're meeting today. You can tune in if you want some really riveting television on YouTube.
Hey, if you're a policy wonk, man, that's the whole thing.
If you're into taxes, this is so three very different ideas coming from the three chairs, the co-chairs from the House and the Senate chair. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's a big one, the tax bill. And so trying to reconcile all of that, I had hoped maybe we would have been in special session and done by mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
And that's not happened. So I'm hoping by this time next week to say the same. But I think, you know, with the holiday Monday, I mean, I'm hopeful that these work groups are going to continue to work and meet, as well as then leadership needing to step in when there's an impasse over the weekend.
Yeah.
So that once things are ready, the governor will call the special session and likely not a minute before then.
Right.
You know, he's waiting for us to get our stuff together to make it worth it. And hopefully maybe it's a one day special session. So the bills are ready to go and, you know, just sort of, because in a special session, you have to reintroduce everything.
Right.
So we have to reintroduce, but also we're not working with previous versions of things. So there's no, you know, amending. And so hopefully if it's a version of bills that can pass both chambers, that's what gets introduced. It gets a first reading, second reading, third reading, gets passed, and the other chamber then does the same.
Are the bills that get introduced, are they bills that have maybe spent some time in a conference committee?
The ones we have not passed. So the environment bill, I haven't seen the final language, but I guess that's buttoned up.
Okay.
So it starts with a spreadsheet, because this is budget year, so we you know, look at how much money is going where.
Yep.
And then it just takes time for the nonpartisan staff to then take the language from this bill and versus this version versus this amendment that was agreed to and put it actually into like the language and the text of a bill. Mm-hmm. So I've heard that there's a spreadsheet, but then they're working on actually assembling the bill language. Yeah. And so all of that just takes time, and especially with a big bill like the taxes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's some other ones still being negotiated, like E12 education, health human services, and children and families is all one bill. So there's like a lot of important stuff that is still being figured out.
You're on the education conference committee?
Nope. Environment.
Environment conference. Yep. Okay, so that's the one you're on. Okay.
Yep, so that's the one that funds the DNR.
Yep.
The Pollution Control Agency, Board of Water and Soil Resources, and the Minnesota Zoo.
Oh, yeah. That's
so those are the like four state agencies we oversee.
Okay.
So it's good that we have our work completed mostly. I mean, except for kind of signing on the dotted line, because if we have to do a state shutdown July 1, that's not great for our state parks and Minnesotans who want to go camping for the July 4th holiday.
Right.
So we everyone feels a big responsibility to get done. But that one especially is difficult if not. And what we're trying to go back into session next week, because there's a June 1st deadline of when pink slips go out to state employees.
Yep.
So we would love to avoid that. I mean, that's so much like bureaucracy and time and energy and stress for the employees to get that. When that's also when the governor has asked state employees to return to work, return to office. And with the cuts from the federal government, I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And so we're hoping that we can have our work done by June 1st so that
pink slips don't need to
go out.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't happen, we do have until June 30th.
Right.
Before a shutdown would happen.
Right.
Well, and especially with like, I'm thinking about departments for the state that are maybe trying to hire for positions now. And it's like, can we? Can't we? Yeah. What do we do?
Should we?
You know? Yeah. Should we? Like, because you don't want to hire someone and then all of a sudden be like, oh, by the way, we might not be able to continue to employ you.
Yeah.
Yep. And this is my first time, you know, staring down the barrel of a special session. And just the like, well, my kids will be done with school in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I going to be here or am I going to have to be in St. Paul?
Right.
You know, the summer camps aren't a full work day.
No.
So like, I'm planning to, you know, be the transportation at 2 p.m. when camp ends, but not if I'm in St. Paul.
Right.
And so just, you know, and people have gone back to their non-session jobs. And so trying to figure out, or people who live 4 hours away from St. Paul, you know, in International Falls. And like, so there's just a lot of logistics and uncertainty.
Yeah.
So that is, that's tough for legislators, but what we're trying to avoid is it being really tough for the rest of the state employees with the uncertainty around July 1st.
Do you, just with the experiences you've had in the last few weeks, do you feel like it's possible to get everything like wrapped up and done within a day? Do you think that's likely, or is it
too
hard to tell?
I don't know. So apparently 2019 is kind of the blueprint that that leadership is looking at, which is this, you know, we do all our stuff in sort of unofficial work groups that still can be open to the public. And then just special session, boom, is just floor passing the things adjourning.
Right. Yeah. There was a special session. I don't know if it's 2019 or after that, but there was a special session a couple of years ago that the governor called. The House adjourned. The Senate decided to stick around. The Senate was under control of the Republicans at that point. And they essentially, they hadn't confirmed, there hadn't been official confirmation of a lot of the department heads of the people that are the governor's commissioners, yes. Right. And they essentially started firing people. Yep.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because we lost our MPCA commissioner.
Yeah.
And apparently we have a couple of commissioners even now that have not been confirmed by the Senate, because the Senate has used that as a way to encroach on some of the power of the executive.
Right. Branch. Right. So I mean, the idea here is that the governor can call a special session, but only the two houses can adjourn one. Is there any, I mean, is anyone nervous about the Senate pulling?
Well, now I am.
Like, I wasn't thinking about it before, but I forgot that
you have the DFL has a majority in the Senate right now, yes. Don't they? Okay, so we don't worry so much about that.
It's probably more sketchy in my chamber because it's tied. Yeah. But not one party has a majority, yeah. So you basically need a majority to do anything if Republicans are following their agreement with us, which we've been following all along. So. Yeah, thanks a lot, Rich. Now I'll be worrying about that.
I'm sorry.
The way this session has gone, I mean.
Yeah, it's been a funky session.
Yeah, and I, you know, was hoping to feel a little more relief when we were adjourned. But because we're not done, that relief has not come.
With a few minutes left, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit and just ask you. I mean, we don't know exactly how it's all going to go. And I don't know, from outside looking in, maybe I make some different assumptions about this. But overall, on the whole, how do you feel about the way the budget is coming together?
Well, from the pieces of the budget that we have passed, it's a true compromise budget.
Which means nobody's happy.
Which means no one's happy.
Yeah.
And I think that that's true. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for folks who came in my year in 2022,
or
Democrats anyway, who came in 2022, and we had a $17 billion surplus and the first trifecta in a decade, and we got to fund the things. And that's not the scenario now.
Right.
Both fiscally, like the budgetarily, and also, there's not a DFL trifecta.
Right.
Now, we're not in the minority.
Right.
In any of these branches of government, but we're not in the majority.
Right.
And so, there's stuff that I have had to hold my nose to vote for. And that's just kind of unusual, because in the past, the Republicans would just vote against everything that they didn't like.
Right.
And we got to vote for the things we did like. And this is now much more nuanced of like, well, there's some good stuff. There's some stuff I really don't like. But this is is how we operate.
So some of the things that you passed when we had the $17 billion surplus are being rolled back now.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in particular that was especially painful for you? Okay, I'm listening.
The offering the option for people who qualify to be on Minnesota Care, regardless of your immigration status, was a huge win. It's maybe the thing I'm most proud of from the last two sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And what was announced on the Thursday, not yesterday, but the previous Thursday, that like global budget agreement that the governor and the leaders of both chambers
right.
had was to take that away from adults. Mm-hmm. And as a person who has been on Minnesota Care,
yep.
when I was starting my family, we were starting a business, it was absolutely crucial to feel like I could do those things and to not offer that to an incredibly hardworking group of Minnesotans mm-hmm. who are already being demonized and persecuted from the federal government. For us, it feels like, you know, we're piling on
yeah.
for these folks that are already having a tough time. And that is absolutely heartbreaking. And I have said that, you know, I'm not going to vote for that. So I continue to do everything I can, but it's absolutely gut wrenching. And, you know, we have great resources. That's all to say. Here in Rice County, we have Health Finders, mm-hmm. and they have served people underinsured or who aren't insured at all. They now have a clinic in Owatonna as yep. well as Faribault yep. and Northfield. Uh-huh. And there are these clinics that exist, and they do such incredibly important work.
Yes.
And they have mental health services. They have dental services. They have almost anything that you could need. And so even if these adults are going to be kicked off of Minnesota Care, please, you know, people, if you are having a health issue, yeah. do not wait until you need to call an ambulance or go right. to the emergency room. Like, there are resources out there.
Those people over at Health Finders they're amazing, amazing people.
Incredible.
Yeah. Well, and I just can't get those numbers out of my head that we discussed the last time we talked to you about the cost right. of insuring these folks versus the potential cost it can place on our medical care system. Yeah. And I just, if nothing else, just numbers alone, you know, I mean, it just doesn't make fiscal sense.
No, and to have like the social justice groups, the Catholics, mm-hmm. the insurance companies, the hospitals. Literally, there's not one group of people who is for this except right. for Republicans.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it feels just but cruel.
It's not blanket Republicans. It's a certain section of Republicans, isn't it? I mean,
I don't know which Republicans are for it, for keeping the adults on. Okay. I would love to hear. People can contact me. I would okay. love to hear Republicans who are supportive of keeping mm-hmm. families insured, yeah. which helps the insurance rate for the rest of us. It helps keep our rural hospitals and clinics open, because when these people have insurance, mm-hmm. then our rural hospital here in town and clinic can get reimbursed. Versus if people are uninsured and they can't pay, they still have to provide the ambulance for someone in an emergency.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They just don't get paid for it.
Yeah.
And how does that get paid? Well, all the rest of our rates
go up,
and fees and co-pays and insurance and all of the things. So it's not like these folks are going to go away. It will just sadly probably mean they go more underground and don't treat treatable
right.
Illnesses and
right.
yeah.
Right. Okay. We will hope, if you're in session a week from today, we will hope to talk to you. We will not count on it. However, mm-hmm. you'll just let us know. Mm-hmm. And then whenever this is all wound up and taken care of
before July 1st,
we'd love to get you back for a debrief.
That sounds great. I can't wait to have some final things to be able to talk about.
That sounds good.